from 96. And when you found it, did we ask that you would stand? I'm going to read, you all read silently along with me. I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Holy Bible, beginning with verse 1 of Psalms 96. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonderful works among all people. For the Lord is great and is highly praised. He is feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord makes the heavens. I want you to skip down to verse 10. Of the same 96th Psalm. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be shaken. He judged the people fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and all that fills it resound. Let the fields and everything in them exult. Then all the trees of the forest will shout for joy before the Lord, for he's coming. For he's coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world and righteousness and the people with his faithfulness. Amen. You may be seated. As most of you probably know, this psalm is our Sunday school lesson for today. And if you have read your lesson, which I hope and pray that you have, it's a good thing just go on and read the lesson as soon as you can. Like sometime this evening or Monday for next week. That's right. Amen. What that does, once you read it, you have almost a week for God to reveal other truths to you. as it relates to that particular blessing. And there's a difference when you just read it Sunday morning and you don't give yourself, you don't give the Lord time to share other truths with you. I want to use for a subject celebrating Christ in worship. Celebrating. Christ in worship. I think it's safe for me to say that we all get excited to a certain extent over a celebration. There are different levels of excitement. And we all get excited in different ways. But when you talk about a celebration, it kind of gets our attention. Because, to be honest with you, regardless of how bad things may seem, we all have a lot to celebrate. But what the devil has done, and he's very good at this, what the devil has done, he has tricked our minds to the extent that what I do is major on that which I don't have. He's tricked my mind. That's what I dwell on. That's what I give attention to. In fact, that's what gets my time and my energy. It's what I don't have. And what the devil has done successfully to a certain extent in all of our lives is made that kind of thinking a way of life. For some of us, when we get up in the morning, instead of getting up thanking God, we get up thinking about what I don't have. The first thing we ought to do is thank God. If you are awake and in your sound mind, first thing you ought to do when you get up, I wake up, is thank God. That's the first thing. Now that is important for several reasons. First of all, it conditions our mind. It conditions your mind for the whole day. You have conditioned your, whatever you dwell on first, conditions our mind for the whole day. And if you think about it, there will be overtones of what you dwell on first throughout your conversation with others during the day. It can be 2:00 in the evening, and if you got up thinking about what you don't have. be 2 o'clock in the evening, you be talking to one of your friends and you still talking about. I don't know what I'm going to do, child. I don't have this. And I don't have that. I really need this. That's all day long. And it can become habitual in that we do it day after day. And we set ourselves up for defeat. Ain't nobody else doing it to us. We doing it to ourselves. Because Jesus says, the way a man thinketh, so is he. The way a man thinketh, so is he. We can't make Jesus a liar now. The way I think is me. I promise you, if we learn how to celebrate what Christ has already done in our lives, Christ will take care of the other stuff himself. What do I allow in my mind at the start of the day? Now surely, if we've been on earth any length of time, and if we've been in church any length of time, you ought to have so much to thank God for that you don't dwell on what you don't have. I just got so much to thank God for. So not only does it condition our minds for the rest of the day, but it also says to our mind what is most important. I'm responsible for my mind. I am responsible for my mind. You are responsible for your mind. And if you have made Jesus first in your mind, then your energy is going to be in celebrating him. Celebrating him.
Well, you know by now that we had a great celebration last week. I thought it was fantastic. I guess I'm somewhat biased because I was part of it. I really thought it was great. And I really believe that my wife did a Herculean job in planning and then turning it over to 3 individuals to implement it. I thought she did a Herculean job.
It was a great celebration. And yes, we have survived the whole week. That may not sound like much, but I'm telling you, Al, to survive a whole week is worth celebrating. Survive the whole week. We had some interesting discussions now during the week, but we survived. And we did come back. We went to Savannah. We flew to Savannah. We was too tired to drive. I wanted to try it, but she did not, so we flew. And then we flew back, and I was still in the celebration mood. So I went down to the Westin and got me a celebrating room. I called her and told her about it. She said, well, okay. And so I came and picked her up and carried her to the second lady of our celebration. This is the only time we can do it. I can't do it when I get broke. I can't do it when health has begun to fail in either one of us. I was talking to a minister's wife last night. She came to the wedding. Her husband passed about seven years ago. I served as vice president under him. He was president. So I called her last night and was talking to her, Sister Crenshaw. And she said to me, she said, you know something, Pastor? She said, I'm so happy for you because you didn't just sit around and make yourself sad. Yeah. That's right. Yes, sir. No, that's right. Now, that wasn't the first time I heard that. First time I really heard it was when Al Edwards said it to me when I first shared with him that I was going to ask this young lady to date me. He said, well, Pastor, listen to me. I'm just so glad that you're not sitting around waiting to die. Said that to me in my study. So if you're going to do something for someone that you love, the best time to do it is now. And you have to do that. That's important because, you know, if you don't build the person up, because the other folks that try to tear them down, right. Yes, sir. That's one reason why you have to come home in the evening. Because the world has torn you down and beat you up. So you come home. And when you come home, you ought not be beat up at home. You ought to be ministered to and cared about. Discuss what hurt you today. So there can be some bond in Gideon. Some healing says can be applied. So anyway, I went on to get, we got the second leg. We checked in and talked to my brother in Connecticut. She talked to him. Somewhere or another, he found out where we were. Either I told him or she told him, or who told him. But he called back yesterday and said, he talked to her. He said, listen, you need to tell Junior that he need to get out of that suite. Because Trump coming to time and he need the presidential suite. I thought that was pretty good. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. It was a good celebration. It's a good celebration. We all have a lot to celebrate. This psalm focuses on celebrating God. First of all, for who He is. Most scholars agree that whoever penned this psalm was celebrating the Ark of the Covenant being brought to Jerusalem. And those of you that have been attending Bible study, you know that the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. So what they were doing, they were celebrating the presence of God in their midst. Now that's deep, because everybody that's alive cannot see God in our midst. But those of us who are born again, those of us who know how to recognize Him, we can see Him in our midst. So we, like the psalmist, can celebrate just who He is. Not moaning and groaning over what I don't have. But we celebrate who our great God is. In spite of all that men against us, in spite of all that the enemy has tried to do to us, we can still see that God is in our midst. It is our great God that brought us out this morning. It's the presence of our great God in the minds of those who would be here, but they just couldn't get out. That's what we celebrate. We can see God? Can you not see it? You ought to be able to see him and what he's done for you, not 10 years ago. But like what he's done for you today. Waking you up this morning. Still clothes in your right mind. Knew where you were. Knew better than to walk outdoors naked and it's 16 degrees. Want to be able to celebrate the presence of God in our midst right now. And so the psalmist said, we ought to sing a new song. Now, singing a new song does not necessarily mean that we're singing a song that we never sung before. What the psalmist is saying, you ought to be able to see new stuff that God has done in your life. That although you sung Amazing Grace last week, you ought to be able to sing it again this week. The same song, but it's a new song. It's new because God has done some new stuff in my life. It's new because I know that what has been done in my life, nobody could do it but God. It's a new song. It still may be the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. But it's new because what he's done just a few minutes ago. Sing a new song. Then the psalmist says, Deacon Madison, we ought to sing it to the Lord. Now, we have to be careful here because we do a lot of bragging about ourselves. And we do a lot of bragging about other folks. But the psalmist says what we do as Christians ought to be unto the Lord. In other words, you got something that has happened in your life. Then you ought not take credit for it. You ought not boast about it. You ought not brag about it. It ought to be what Christ has done in your life. It got to always be about Christ. And watch this. If you make it about Christ all the time, then Christ will see to it that you always got something to celebrate. I got so much to celebrate. Sing to the Lord and praise his name. Not my name. Not your name. But praise his name. And then he says, we are to do it in the presence of the heathens. That's right. That's right.
Now this is kind of a different twist for us. For some of us. Because we enjoy singing in the choir and praising God in the midst of others that know Him. But the truth of the matter is, when we get in the company of heathens, and I need to define what the heathens, who they are. They are the unredeemed crowd. That may be strong language, but it's the language of the scriptures. They are unbelievers. I may be your sister, your brother, maybe your mother, your father. But the Bible describes them as heathens. All it says, other nations. Which means that they are not part of God's people. The Gentiles at this particular time was considered as heathens. Because they was not part of Israel's covenant with God. So the psalmist says, when we get in the presence of those who don't know Him, then you and I are to declare Him in the presence of those that don't know Him. Now, there are many ways to do that. One way is that you don't join in with them in doing what they are doing. You can't drink with them. You can't party with them. Because what the devil wants to do is say to them, you see, ain't no difference in you and them. You staggering, but there she is too. She's staggering. What's the difference? Hello? And so we got to say, my best friend is unsaved. My best friend is a homosexual. You know how to pick them. We got to think about this. My best friend ought to be a saved person. That's first of all, ought to be a saved person. I ain't mad now because I'm talking about their friends. But they don't want me to say nothing about their friends. No, I'm not. I can't. Listen, you're asking for trouble when you align yourself with someone that's not saved. It's just a matter of time. It's going to blow up in your face. A person that's saved got something to control him or her. And let me say this, because some of us like to consider ourselves as being more sympathetic than Jesus is. Jesus says, you either for me or you against me. It got to be cut and dry. See, can I bring it home a little closer? Tomorrow night, a championship game going to be played. Between Alabama
and Clemson. Now, Nikita, when they take the field, I promise you, you will know which team is which. There will be absolutely no ambiguity. You'll be able to distinguish which is which. The world ought to be able to distinguish who we are. And we don't have to be carrying a black Bible under our arms for the world to see that. It's the way we conduct ourselves. It's the way we carry ourselves. When we are not around other saved folks. We are to make his name known to the heathens. That's our responsibility. They ought to be able to look upon us and see Christ. If I'm working beside a heathen, a heathen may be my boss, and all they hear is me complaining and grumbling. What kind of testimony is that for Christ? If all they hear is that, I don't know how I'm going to make it, child. I'll tell you what. I just know how I'm going to make it. Ooh, I just caught so much hell in 16. And now he's going into 17. I just don't know. The next word you say, I teach Sunday school. Or I sing in the choir. Come on. It's kind of like a lightning bug. What makes the lightning bug light? It's the stuff on the inside of the lightning bug. What makes us act like a Christian is who on the inside of us. It's who on the inside. It's not what I'm wearing. It's not just when I'm sitting in the sanctuary. That's right. Yes, sir. But wherever you see me, you ought to be able to see Christ. Yes, sir. That's declaring him among the nation. Okay, well, I got to let you go. We've been here long enough. One other thing. Those latter verses that we read really deals with what I call Christ making everything right. No one is exempt. None of us are exempt from people treating us bad.
Amen. Amen.
And depending on how sensitive you are, people can turn your world upside down. They know what buttons to push in your life to upset you. They'll push them. I ought to have some witnesses here. They'll push them. And the closer they are to you, the more they know how to push the button.
Yeah. My Lord. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So being a Christian does not exempt us from being treated wrong. Being a Christian does not exempt us from people lying on you. Being a Christian does not exempt us from people not even speaking to you. And what I like to say to people about that is, you make sure you speak. It's not your responsibility to make other folks speak. But as a Christian, your responsibility is to what? Speak. And if you speak, then you won't get all twisted out of shape when other folks don't speak. You speak. It ought to be a race to speak. You ought not be, well, I was already in the room. It ought to be a race to speak. Good morning. How are you? They don't have to say a word back. Once you do that, you ought to feel like a bird flying in there. You free. That's the way I want to live my life. You may not never speak to me. You got some issues with me. You may not want to see me happy. But I'm going to speak to you. And then, I know that eventually, Jesus is going to make this thing right. Because he has already said that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And I will repay. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That shall he also reap. That shall he also reap. So I know. This keep me going. I know Christ gonna fix this thing. He gonna fix it. He may fix it while I'm living. Or he may not fix it until I'm gone on. But I got this confidence that Christ, the righteous judge, gonna judge in righteousness. So I got something to celebrate. Anytime you meet me, I can celebrate Christ. He been good to me. I said he been mighty good to me. Bless me with a few pills that I need to take. Bless me with a means of buying them. Bless me with the pills working. So I got a lot to celebrate. He's been mighty good to me. Has he been good to you? Has the Lord been good to you? That's enough. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Celebrating Christ. You worship. Celebrating Christ. We have so much to celebrate. I hope you've been encouraged. Let us all stand. Y'all bring a couple of chairs, will you?